If you would, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and I want to begin reading verse 18 to 24. Genesis chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to talk today about the faith of Enoch. Now, you know there were two men named Enoch in the book of Genesis. This Enoch, according to Jude, was the seventh from Adam. But also in chapter 4, chapter before this, you will see Cain's first son was named Enoch. Verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now all we have there is that Cain had a son. And then Enoch had a son. And so and so. Chapter 5 comes after chapter 4. I know this is really difficult stuff, but I do hopefully have a point here in this introduction, because I do want to point out the difference here, which is made right at the beginning of this book. Okay? The difference between the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, because when you look at the descendants of Cain, that's Genesis 4, 16 through 18, on down, all it says is that Cain and his wife had a son. And then it says Cain's son had a son. And so-and-so begat so-and-so. Enoch, let's see, I don't want to read these names. So I'm not going to. But then when you come to chapter 5, the very first verse says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made him. Now, verse 3 starts off, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son, called his name Seth. And in the days of Adam, after he'd begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And then Seth lived 105 years, and after Seth lived, he had a son, Enos. Seth had a son named Enos, and he lived. Enos lived, had a son named Canaan, and he lived. And then he died. Canaan lived and had a son, oh, here we go, Mahalalel, praise with God. And he lived. And then he died. As you see the descendants of Adam here, the generations of Adam, you'll see two things. They lived and they died. Now when you look at Cain and his progeny, it says he had them, but it never says they lived or they died. That's a very subtle point that was pointed out to me a long time ago by an Arminian preacher. And he said, oh, don't worry about it. They lived and they died, but they wasn't recognized. They weren't recognized by God. It never says that Cain or his descendants lived or died. They were on the earth. But in verse 16, it tells you exactly why. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. There's the difference. The presence of the Lord. That's the difference between the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. The presence of the Lord. Cain and his sons lived and died. Abraham knew that difference. Genesis 17, verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Ishmael was alive. He was right there. Abraham might have been looking at it. But it don't count unless you live before the eyes of God. It doesn't count. Matter of fact, it kind of counts against you. Just like that statement in Exodus about the Passover. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's his sight that matters, not mine. It's his sight that matters, not yours. And that's what's revealed here in this little, just this little section here. There's already a separation between those who are without the presence of God and those who have the presence of God or are in the presence of God. Because living before God is the only thing that matters. I'm not saying living for God. That's another sermon. And generally it's not good from what most people say about it. But living in His presence, in His sight. In Him we live and move and have our being. Why? Because we're in His sight. There's a difference between the children of Cain and the children of Adam, even though Cain was a child of Adam. But I'm here to talk about Enoch. But I had to throw that in. I did read a cartoon the other day. Actually, I copied it. I'm going to bring it to Walter. You're welcome, Walter. I'll tell you what it says right now. It's a Snuffy Smith cartoon. It was in the newspaper. And one of the fellows is talking to the parson there, and he says, what's the secret to a good sermon? He says, well, you have a really good start, and you have a really good end, and you put them both close together as you can. I'm going to try and do that today. I like that. I did. But it helps to have a good start and a good end. It really does. But the middle better be good, too. But look at verse 18. It says, and Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Walter, when I read stuff like this, it just sounds weird to me. I mean, 162 years old, then he has a son. But folks lived longer in those days. It dropped down considerably and considerably quickly.
Right.
You know, we went from 962 years to, you know, 120 or whatever. But still, here we have documented by name the birth of Enoch. And that name means dedicated, trained, or initiated. That's the name, Enoch. Enoch was dedicated. He was named that by his father Jared, which meant descent. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. See, now, if you thought the thought of having children at 162 sounds weird, how about living 800 years and having more? I couldn't help it, Walter. I thought of it. You remember, I used to complain about the generation gap. 800 years. And yet, his whole thing here, his whole part that we see here in this scripture, for Jared, is knocked down to two verses. Because the important part here is that Jared lived.
Yeah.
Jared had Enoch. And Jared lived and Jared died.
Right.
In the sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
I have that confidence. Just by the way this is written. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. He had more kids, but they're not mentioned. Not saying they didn't do anything good, not saying they weren't worthwhile people. It's just this is what we've got to deal with right here. And there's a specific purpose for this. Because none of the other kids are mentioned of any of them. It says they had more, but none of them, you just got the sequence here. That's all we have. And Enoch lived 65 years and he begat Methuselah. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I am this sometimes minded this way that he got a head start of 100 years on his dad in having kids. But he named him Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters. Walter, I remember when you pointed this out a while back. Because it didn't really dawn on me. It doesn't say Enoch walked with God before he begat Methuselah. It says after. So sometimes you might want to, you know, I have to read things more than once. And I need somebody to tell me sometimes. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, right now, I'm not going to go into walk with God, but it was after he begat Methuselah. And then he had more kids. Methuselah is important because he is Noah's grandfather. But also important here, he was named Methuselah by his father, Enoch, dedicated. Now, as close as I can find the breakdown of Methuselah's name, which is, there has to be a purpose behind that name. I'm sorry, just for that name. But supposedly, from what I see, it is derived from two words. First word is muth, M-U-T-H, the way they spell it in English, which means death. And the second word is shalak, which means to bring. So what they're saying is, the theory is that Methuselah's name means his death shall bring. Now what comes at after the end of the death of Methuselah? If you do the math, and I've seen it done. I actually did figure it out one time, but I didn't write none of that stuff down here. Methuselah dies the year the flood came.
Right.
That's the way the math works out.
Yeah.
Now, why in the world would Enoch name his child Methuselah? It doesn't specifically state it here, but I got a feeling he had inside knowledge.
Yes.
He didn't name him that by accident. And if nothing else, he was laid on him by God to name him that. And Methuselah, just a little background for this, he couldn't come until he died. And he was the longest lived man recorded in this book. He was the longest lived person on this earth. Longer than Jared. He was, 962? The forbearance of God is amazing sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The long suffering of God is salvation.
Yeah.
Now, I did watch that movie and I'm not going into that mess. But it was nice to see Methuselah in it. Sure, they had him portrayed as kind of a crazy old man, but it worked out for him. But this is the thing here. The son of Enoch was called Methuselah. And after he begat Methuselah is when he started walking with God, according to this. That's when it's stated that he's walking with God. That he walked with God. And he begat Methuselah 300 years after that he lived. And this is the description that we have of his life. He walked with God. It's going to repeat it here in a verse or two. Because they want you to know this. It doesn't say this about Adam. It doesn't say this about Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel. I practiced saying that yesterday. Doesn't say that about anybody but this fella here and one other in the next chapter. Enoch walked with God. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. His life is summed up here in these seven verses. From birth to death with 365 years in between, this is what we have recorded in the scripture, and we need to pay attention to it. Because here we see the result of Enoch's faith. He walked with God. After he begat Methuselah, he walked with God. He lived 365 years. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. And we worry about making it through 80 years. 300 years, Enoch walked with God. Noah was what? 120 years building the ark. How many people were converted under Noah's ministry? His family went in with him. That was it. There was nobody outside. Methuselah died. And I don't think he was killed in the flood. He may have been. But I don't think he was. I think he died that year, and then the flood came. There's a reason for that, and I'll get to it hopefully here. But this is one heck of a summation of 365 years of life. Enoch walked with God. Now, we're not given any kind of description in here at all. Now, there's a little bit later in the book of Hebrews, which I'm going to look at. But right here, all it says is that Enoch walked with God. Then it says it again. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Now there's a fella, now you can find all kinds of things in commentaries, whether you want to or not. But I did get there was a fella there who was trying to answer the question, Walter, of where he went. It doesn't matter where he went. God took him. He's right where he should be. He's with God. And the one fella said, he said, to ask where he went is just mere curiosity. I don't need to know where he went. God took him. And if God takes you, you're took. I mean, I don't want to add to the scriptures, but I definitely don't want to take away from the scriptures either. It says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For the reason Enoch was not, for God took him. Otherwise, Enoch would have been there. He only lived 365 years. His dad was still alive. He still had, what, 400 to go, at least. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now, if you would, look at Hebrews chapter 11, because there is a little more in here about Mr. Enoch. This is the chapter they call the Heroes of Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated. that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. God took him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There's a little more. There's a little more there than what we had in Genesis. And see, I'm not adding to that scripture. We got the writer of Hebrews under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit just spreading it out a little bit. Because basically what he said was the same thing. Where did he go? The only answer to that is he went with God. Do you need any more than that? Does anybody need any more than that? Where did Elijah go in a whirlwind? He went up. God took him. The writer of Hebrews, see, we had seven verses, though, in Genesis, and the writer of Hebrews sums this up in one. By faith. There's your answer. There's your answer right there. By faith. By faith. Now, it's not by belief. It's not your believing, although you will believe. This is by faith. This is a noun. By faith, as Jude calls him, the seventh from Adam, should not see death. Now, seven's a number of completion, seven's a number of perfection, whatever you want to call it. The seventh from Adam should not see death. How? By his works? No. No, 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 no. Enoch's works are just like our works. They're a result of faith. Right. By faith, he walked with God. Right. By faith, that's the answer. That's the Old Testament, though. And weren't they under the law? No, actually, this was a little bit before the law. A few hundred years, you know. Salvation, translation, has never been by works. And it never, ever will be. It's by faith. Because here, excuse me, here is a summation of a man's life, if you want one. Here's the conclusion of all conclusions. By faith. You can add the rest of them in. But they all start this way in this chapter. By faith Abel. By faith Enoch. Without faith it's impossible to please him. By faith Noah. By faith Abraham. By faith Isaac. By faith Jacob. By faith Joseph. By faith Moses. You begin to find out that the faith of God's elect is important when you look at this. And all of those fellas were in the Old Testament. And don't forget the women, by faith Rahab. I'm not going to call her the harlot, although I just did. But that's the conclusion. The world does not understand the miracle of these two words, by faith. Because how did Enoch walk with God? By faith. How did all of these people listed in Hebrews 11? How did they do? How did they do the things they did? And they did some things. They're listed here. By faith. By faith. By faith. Even in the Old Testament. By faith, the just live. The righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. There is a definite sense, And it says so in the scriptures that we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How's it? By faith. By faith. Once delivered to the saints. We have access by faith. We stand by faith. This is all from the scriptures. I'm not going to tell you where. We are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, who dwells in our hearts by faith. And I will give you this one. You can look up the rest. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, he says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." He's got that in parentheses. That's an aside. And for what Paul's talking about, it was a little explanation of what he was talking about. But I like that. You can put it in parentheses. You can put that right after Enoch here. We walk by faith, not by sight. And Enoch walked with God. Why? How? By faith. And by faith alone. This is not boasting by any means, because we know this faith, the faith of God's elect, is the gift of God. Can't stay away from that verse. You are saved by grace through faith. It is Christ Jesus who is the author and the finisher of faith. And it is once delivered to the saints. It's the gift of God. Boasting is excluded. What? By the law of what? Faith. He walked with God by faith. Now, there is a statement. I wanted to bring this up. Mainly because there's one little point that seems kind of important to me. There's another fella in this book, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God." Now you'll also find him in Hebrews 11, by faith. But, and this is the part that a lot of people have a tendency to want to leave out. If you look in chapter Genesis 6 and verse 8, which is the verse right before, verse 9, Noah walked with God. Verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now how does Paul state that in Ephesians? I just quoted it a minute ago. By grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his work. That's what that word means. His workmanship. His creation. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. It was before ordained that Enoch would walk with God. It was ordained of old, even older than this, than Genesis chapter 5. It was ordained of old before the foundation of the world. By faith. In Hebrews 11, it uses that word translated twice. By faith, Enoch was translated, what? That he should not see death. And was not found. He was not. He was not found because God had translated him. Now that word translated, used twice there, there's a slight difference in the second word. It's the same exact base word, but there's a little suffix on the end of the second word. Because where it says Enoch was translated, that's a passive verb. Enoch had nothing to do with it, but he was the one translated. He was passive in that. But then when you look at it and said, because God translated him, guess what? That's active. Because God's the one that translates you. And if God don't translate you, you're not translated. He is the active party, and it's never we ourselves. We do things according to His will and His good pleasure. But when it comes to translation, when it comes to the fact that Enoch was not, that was the work of God and not because of the work of Enoch. Conclusion. I read it just a little while ago. Cain went out from the presence of God. The first thing we read of Cain after God finished speaking to him was that Cain went out from the presence of God and dwelt in the land of Nod. And it really doesn't matter where he dwelt, because he dwelt outside the presence of God. He had a kid named Enoch, and he built it a city. That's the first mention of the word city in the book. That's the first mention. There was a guy, who wrote some stuff that I've been reading, C.H. McIntosh. And this is the way he put it, because you've got, before the generations of Adam, you have the descendants of Cain. There's a reason for that order. Because you're going to see what Cain did, and you're going to see what the descendants of Adam did, and what God did through them and in them. But what he wrote here, I copied it down because I liked it. He wrote, "The sons of Cain," and Cain himself, "might spend their energies in the vain attempt to improve a cursed world. But Enoch found a better world and lived in the power of it." His faith, Enoch's faith, was not given him to improve the world, but to walk with God. That's what your faith is for. That's what my faith is for. See, we don't get it. We don't get any description of what it is to walk with God. There's no description given here. Now, all I can go with is what we call the preponderant testimony of Scripture. And by that I mean the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, and he said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? To walk with God, you can't walk with God outside of His Son. And neither did Enoch. He didn't have what we have in these scriptures, but he knew the Messiah was coming. His great-grandma Eve may have told him about it. I don't know. That there's coming a seed of a woman that's going to bruise the head of the serpent. God gave them that prophecy before they got kicked out. By faith, we walk with God. If we believe His Son, believest thou this? I believe, help thou mine unbelief. By faith, Enoch was translated. That he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And if you think you can do that without Christ, you're thinking wrong. By faith. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. Thank you for your Son, our Lord, who did come as promised in the Old Testament, and he bruised the serpent's head and his heel was bruised, and he died, and he rose again from the dead, and he brought to you the offering of his own blood, and you accepted it, and you accepted us in him. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.